It's time for a new adventure.
Welcome to Adventures in Business, a podcast dedicated to the voices of today's entrepreneurs. Adventure is not just an action, it's an attitude. We will broaden your horizons and understandings of what it's like to be a working person today, in this moment of time on this planet we call Earth.
Welcome back to Adventures in Business podcast. It's a new year. Happy New Year, everybody. We hope that you had lots of good adventures over the holiday season, and we are back to start a new year. And to start us off, we have Jamie Chandler, and she owns Fay Marguerite Floral and Events. Welcome, Jamie.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to talk to me today.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, I'm here with my co-host, Lisa Fisher. How are you doing, Lisa?
Doing great. Ready to start a new year and meet some new faces and some new people to have them on our podcast. Super excited to have you here today, Jamie.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Jamie, let's begin. Tell us about yourself, who you are, and what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Jamie. I'm a florist first. Foremost, no matter what, I'm a florist. I'm also the founder and farmer and sole worker, owner, all those things of Fay Marguerite Floral and Events. We're a local East Lansing florist, and we provide responsibly grown, sustainably harvested, and beautifully created flower designs for all sorts of events, weddings, funerals, even just day-to-day arrangements and stuff like that. And we also grow a lot of our products here, especially during the summertime. And we offer classes, and we like to partner with local businesses, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I was just looking at your Facebook feed, and did you do like centerpieces for tables at Red Haven, right? Did you do that recently?
Yes, Red Haven is one of my favorite clients. I actually used to work there once upon a time, and they are just such lovely people. Good farm-to-table restaurant. Can't say enough about that. It's super important in our world right now. But they asked me for some evergreens for the holidays, which we happen to have, which was wonderful. But we also provide their table arrangements during the summer with our homegrown flowers.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I've had the good luck of going there a couple times. Last time was for my birthday. It's beautiful. So nice. Tell us a little bit about why, like when you founded your company and what motivated you to get started doing this on your own.
Yeah, absolutely. So that will take us right back to Red Haven. I've always been in the retail and service industry. You know, customer service is very much my whole career. And I was serving around town and it was fine and good or whatever. But I was also getting into studying the idea of permaculture with my partner. And for those who don't know, it's the idea of permanent agriculture, which is a sustainable way of growing food crops as well as beautiful crops in ways that aren't going to harm the environment, but rather they're going to last not just through our lifetimes, but beyond, because they're planted so responsibly, they can continue, which is really cool. Again, a really important thing with the way the world is. We need to kind of juice it back up a bit with some responsible agriculture. So we were learning that, and I decided to start working at Red Haven, was serving there. And one of the server's duties is actually to put together the little table arrangements. The farmers bring the flowers loose. And at the time, my partner's farm was the farm providing the flowers. So I was doing that every week. It was really fun. I used to do arrangements and stuff. When I was young, my mom always had cutting gardens. And so I would just do it as a hobby. But then it started being part of my job. And then I started realizing, oh, hey, I really enjoy this. And also, I think I'm pretty good at it. I was getting a lot of feedback from the customers asking where they could buy the arrangements, which was very sweet because looking back, they weren't that great. But I happened to know someone, my landlady, who co-founded a greenhouse right around the corner from my place of residence. And she suggested that maybe I go work part-time at the flower shop there. And so I did. And that's how I ended up at Van Atta's flower shop. And they took me in. I started as a driver, worked my way up, learned under the very best in the area as far as old school traditional floristry, and eventually started gardening for them, doing cut gardens for them, harvesting, learned to arrange, and then became the floral manager for a little while there. And during that time, I really realized how much I loved it, obviously, but also how much I loved being part of the growing process and the seed to vase aspect of it. And it meant so much more now that I was actually meeting with customers, clients who were having big events like brides and such for whole weddings. And I could tell them, yes, I'm going to have my snapdragons that I grew for you ready. They're going to be your color and we're going to put them in your wedding. It was awesome. But I just realized at some point that I wanted a place that was a little bit more focused, a little bit smaller. It's a huge operation. It's really cool. But I wanted a place that I could really settle in and be creative and responsible as far as how we grew the flowers and what we were doing with the flowers. But then also that wasn't so focused on plant sales as the main source of income. Because when you do that, you know, floristry is going to be a part of it, not the main thing. And that's really where I wanted to put my focus and energy. So I happened to get a part-time job offer over from the Old Town General Store at just the right time that I also got an offer for some land to use for my garden. And we started really late in the middle of the growing season this last year because of it, because we just didn't want to wait anymore. So here we are, and we're based right here at my house. We have a milk house on the property that we work out of and big, gorgeous garden. And hopefully we're going to be expanding that or doubling it this next year. So yeah, that's how we got here.
Wow. So how much space are you gardening currently? You're going to double it, but how much space are you using?
People are always blown away when I tell them that my current garden plot is 25 by 35 foot. And part of that is a 6x8 greenhouse. Okay. So there is very little garden space right now. Yeah. We hope to double or triple it this next year. We are still looking at a location for that. But honestly, we didn't even fill that garden space this last year. And it was quite a lot. You'd be amazed at how many flowers you can get out of a small space if you pack them in. And when you're growing for cut flowers, that's one of the things that you really like to do is plant pretty close so that stems are more eager to reach toward the light. So you get nice, long, strong stems. And there's responsible ways to do that too, of course, because you don't want pests and things. But yeah, it's pretty crazy how much you can get out of just a little patch.
That's a great tip for all you listeners out there.
I'm full of them.
And get those strong, straight stems, right?
That's right.
And also if you have some land space available.
Yes.
You use the term responsible a lot. And apparently I'm taking this as that's a passion for you. That's really important. It's something that's very important. When did you discover that you had this passion, this drive for the responsible end of agriculture and what we're doing?
Yeah, I would say that it was always in me. I have been a hippie since I was a little kid, you know? I remember writing letters to Brazilian congressmen or something in middle school about stopping the Amazon rainforest slaughter or whatever. It's like, obviously that's a little bit much and they're not going to listen to a seventh grader, but also this is something that's been present my whole life. and when I started seeing my partner about 8 years ago, that was something, we both worked on a farm at the time. And that was something they are really passionate about. It's an organic farm. And right now they currently manage it. It's pretty cool. But they have been so influential as to being a partner in learning about how to care for the land, not just care for the land, not just steward the land, but like really give back to it. One of my favorite talking points is composting. I'm obsessed with composting. Rebuilding topsoil is the single greatest thing we can do for the environment. Big, big fan of composting. For anyone who is truly interested in that aspect of things, the Humanure Handbook is my favorite reference for that. But yeah, it's been probably 6 or 7 years that we've been really serious about it. And that has really impacted how we plant things and how we look at which plants we decide to put in. You know, we wanted to plant a Japanese maple when we first moved in here. And instead of doing that, we decided to put in a hazel. And now we've been rewarded with hazelnuts. And not that Japanese maples are bad. They're really wonderful. But when you put the effort into thinking about what you're adding to your landscape design or to your floral design or whatever design you're doing, it really has lasting effects. Now there's going to be a food tree here as long as it lives, and there will be more after that. because it'll be spread by the squirrels, which is crazy.
I can totally attest to that personally. So when we moved into my house about 12 years ago, there was an in-ground pool. And whoever did the landscaping in this house picked ridiculous things to put next to this pool. Like a giant mulberry tree, which dropped trees into it.
And wouldn't the roots crack the foundation of the pool?
Yeah, and like blue jays would literally wait till I was watching and drop mulberries in my pool, like so I could see them do it.
Yeah, and then
those
rats.
And then those trees with like the helicopter seeds. Mm-hmm. Yep, maples. Okay. Three of those that littered my pool with all of those things.
Oh, no. No, you want like a nice tall shrub without fruit. Yeah.
we actually filled our pool in and made it a garden.
That sounds wonderful. That's one of my other favorite things to do with the urban spaces and spaces where humans have been. There's a vacant drive-in movie theater that I'm obsessed with right around the corner from me that's been gone for 18 years or something. But you know that there's all that concrete under there, like just huge concrete slabs. And yet it's rewilding already. Like there are trees that are 20, 30 foot tall already. They're skinny, they're small, but they're breaking through the concrete and taking all the nutrients that they can get. And by doing that, they're dropping their leaves, they're bringing in wildlife, and that's creating more soil on top of that concrete, which will help break it down even more. And it's so cool. Like filling in a pool, that's amazing to me. I love that so much.
It's much easier to maintain now.
Yeah, absolutely. Pool. And it's so beautiful. And if the blue jays drop mulberries in it, I mean, worst comes to worst, you'll get mulberry stars.
Right,
you
know? Right. Yeah. So tell us how you came up with the name for your business, Fay Marguerite.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one I get asked a lot because it's a weird name. I sat around for 3 months trying to figure out a name for my business and I hated every single thing I came up with. But I wanted it to be really personal, but also sound pretty cool. Fae is, I mean, it is a name, but in this instance, it comes from the older meaning, which is fairy, the fae. And Marguerite is my favorite type of daisy. It's also my great-grandmother's name. And my mom always had them in the yard and we'd walk around. They're bright yellow double daisies. And they're just so dang cute. But we'd walk around and she'd be like, oh, that's the Marguerite daisy. It's named after your great-grandma, which it's not. But I'll believe anything.
Right.
And I just fell in love with it. And they have a really dynamic, just like clear daisy style to them that just, I don't know, it really draws my creativity. And so I was playing around with some of those words and I was like, oh, Fay Marguerite. That sounds like a really pretty name. But also, if you think about it, it just means daisy fairy. and I'm obsessed with fairies, you know, that's been part of my life also. So it just really seemed to fit. And yeah, we do florals and events. So I just tagged that.
What a great tribute to your grandmother, just to be able to have that Marguerite, that name in the name of your business and honoring her. Is the daisy your favorite flower to grow or is there something else?
I wouldn't say to grow. It is a wonderful perennial. I did have trouble with it at first just because my soil wasn't quite right when I first put it in, but it's certainly adjusted at this point here because I transplanted it from my mom's. But it's definitely an okay cutting flower, but it's not like the best. For me, there's so many I love to grow. Sunflowers and dahlias, but it usually comes back to the really simple stuff for me. I really like this plant called Adreetum. It's a shorter plant and it's bright, like periwinkle blue and kind of fuzzy. And they're just so dang cute. The bees love them. They're always covered in bees. My whole garden is just swarmed with them. The whole season, it's wonderful. But I also really like Gomphrena, which is also called Globe Amaranth. And they kind of look like little gumdrops. And they just are so cute sticking out of bouquets or arrangements. They're beautiful in the landscape as well. But they're just beautiful little purple and pink and white and red gumdrops. And I love them. And they dry and hold their color really gorgeous too. Love multi-use stuff.
Awesome. But, you know, speaking of the agricultural piece of things that you had mentioned earlier, kind of circling back around to that, what are some of the biggest challenges that you're experiencing? Because you just mentioned soil types, right? But from an ag perspective, what are some of the struggles that you're having?
Right now, it's just manpower. Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned before, it's just me. I do have help from my partner when they're available. But you know, they work a farm job also. However, it's not so bad as far as the agricultural end of things. Most of my struggles usually come on the business end of things, paperwork, filing taxes, that sort of thing. With agricultural stuff, it's just strictly finding the time of day or in the day to do the work, which takes a certain amount of time. And, you know, I've absolutely found myself waking up at 6 o'clock to cut flowers before the sun is so hot that I can't. That's a thing I have to consider. But also, if I get an order in the middle of the day or the next morning, like I need to go out and cut again at night in the middle of the darkness, because it's got to be 10 o'clock in the middle of summer before you can go out and cut. So it's just finding the time and timing things right, I think, would be my biggest challenges there.
Yeah. And you've also said, it sounds like through this whole process, you've had at least one other job that you've been doing part-time or whatever. So hard to juggle more than one job. We've all been there. And that's a big challenge too.
I've absolutely been at parts of my life where I've had 2, 3, 4 jobs at a time. And this is no different. I usually like to work at least 2 jobs. So even when I was managing the flower shop, I was working one night a week at Red Haven until the pandemic started. Just because I make really strong relationships with my coworkers. I usually work in small spaces and I don't like to leave. But it provides a little bit of a palate cleanser. And because I wasn't doing the business at that point in time, I was able to have those 2 jobs and like really enjoy them. But now I work with the Old Town General Store. Love it. Great place. Love local items because it reduces the shipping and keeps money in state, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone knows all that good stuff. But it just really tied into my business and personal values. And it ended up being a great way to meet folks who have needs that I can help with.
That is awesome. What are you most excited about?
Everything. We're a 6-month-old company, so I am excited about everything to come. But I do have some big stuff in the works. We'll be starting some classes this next year. We're hoping, if conditions allow, to do in-person classes where folks can come out and do sort of a harvest and design course with us, where they can harvest their own stems. And then we take them back to Milk House to teach them how to arrange them and how to care for them, stuff like that. So that'll be in the works late summer. We should be starting those. And then one of our amazing things coming up is actually for Valentine's Day this year, we just started talks with friends over at MI Drinks. They are a drink and snack business that floats around all the different markets in town. You've seen Emily everywhere, I'm sure. But she and I have been talking, and we're going to be doing treats and flowers for Valentine's Day, little combos. So she'll have several different flavors of duos available. So there'll be like a pair of tarts. I think there's a couple flavors of tarts. There's a chocolate and a vanilla. And then I think the vanilla has rose and cherry in it as well. And there's going to be some pedophores that are vanilla, rose, pistachio, a whole selection of sandwich cookies. And then you can pair that with one of my arrangements, either at a $40 price or a $60 price. And we'll make them beautiful. But yeah, I'm really excited for that. We're opening up orders this next week, and then those will run through the 9th of February.
And if somebody wanted to order those, how would they do that? Where would they find that order?
Yeah. So I will send you the link so you guys can put it in your notes if you like. Yeah. But Emily's business, Michigan Drinks, has a Squarespace ordering page that you can go right to. It shows you all your options. You can put your order in. And we're actually not doing pickups for this. We're going to be doing delivery on Valentine's Day, which is on a Monday this year. So yep, delivery will be involved in that as well. And get everything done while you're at work.
Nice.
What a great idea.
You can also find all of our info on that. We'll be up well before the podcast is out on my social media, as well as her social media at Emma Drinks.
Okay.
Are you a small business or a nonprofit that wants to market better? Of course you want to market better. Join heavy-hitting marketing agencies and experts at the Michigan Marketing Outstanding Brand Summit. All the big bosses will be there. 17 presentations on cutting-edge topics like brand dominance, how to make a logo that doesn't suck, figuring out what the heck SEO is, launching your own damn podcast, upcoming annoying changes for social media, creating videos that slay, and so much more. win big prizes, and take advantage of exclusive marketing training. Join the ranks of marketing bosses throughout Michigan and meet me, Amy Zander, the reigning marketing mobstress of Michigan. Mark Friday, May 6th, 2022 on your calendar. It's not too far away to start planning now. Follow Zedia Media on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for a chance to win tickets. Visit zediamedia.com for more information and to purchase tickets. That's ZEEDIAMEDIA.com. Your presence will be honored. Your absence will be noted.
So when you start thinking about delivery and your concern about lack of manpower that you mentioned earlier, how do you recruit? How do you bring in people to help you have a successful Valentine's Day, let's just say?
Well, I, at this point, strictly have to rely on volunteer help, and those volunteers being my partner, my mom, his mom, you know, just folks who have time and a car. Honestly, it's me doing the deliveries as well, 100% of the time at this point. But having folks around who can bring me supplies when I need them. Like, I get my evergreen supply from the trees I planted 20 years ago at my mom's house, which is so cool to me. Very circular. And so sometimes I have her drop off truckloads of greenery at my place when it's the cutting season. I go over and raid her gardens as well, like I used to when I was a kid. But my partner's mom saves me seed from her zinnias every year, so I always have heirloom zinnia seed. It's just little things like that that help prepare me for everything that I need to do. Anything that I can get done, get to my shop, get ready before day of, before the flowers have to be made, that's so helpful. And it's the prep work that really takes the most time. So that's where I'm getting all of my assistance.
That's great. Where do you find your clients, right? You need the help and you've got some great volunteers right now. Yes. Where do you find your ideal client?
So that is what we're exploring right now. What we're learning right now is we started, obviously, like most small businesses start, marketing to the people we know, who we know need them. I just did, you know, my best friend's wedding last fall and things like that. And that always does help draw in business, just because when people can see what you're capable of, especially when you have a larger scale or a larger budget like that, it really makes them want to have part of that. And so we're taking the things that we're doing for our family, for our friends earlier in this last season, and using those to market our flyers and things like that, our social media, and just the fact that they are commenting, sharing, picking up some flyers and handing them out has already doubled or tripled the people that are in contact with us, which is pretty amazing. I mean, I wouldn't even know you guys if I didn't have some business cards set out at work, you know? Right. So it's really just been about timing and circumstance. We actually just did a wedding for a wonderful couple who had a little Tuesday wedding and it was so cute, but they found us because we had dropped off some flowers at a different shop in Old Town that they happened to be at and happened to see. So a lot of it right now is circumstantial, but we are going to be expanding our marketing further into probably some news and social ads, things like that, actual real advertising.
It's like you're a grown-up business.
I know. Yeah. It's really weird. People are always like, oh, this is a nice hobby for you. And I'm like, no, I have a tax license. Like, I am doing real work. Not a hobby.
Yeah.
Every time I do something like that, I'm like, oh, now I'm a grown-up business. Now I'm a grown-up business. But the reality is it's always been a grown-up business.
One of my clients is a wedding venue. They have a couple different rustic barns in mid-Michigan. And one of the things that we do for them is we join all kinds of groups on Facebook that brides would join.
Started talks with quite a large wedding down in Ferndale because of a group like that. That just so happened to see a bouquet that I made.
Excellent. I was looking at your dried flower arrangements too that you had on Facebook. Those are really beautiful. I love dried flowers so much. I have a bunch in my house.
It's definitely a trend that has started coming back, which is really cool to me. Silks and dried are both making a resurgence. Personally, I don't like working with silks just because I can't store them. I can trust them. It's just I can't store them and keep them as clean as I need to.
Right.
So they're very hard to clean. And they get really dusty and they take up a lot of space. And they're just a lot of work, honestly. They make really beautiful creations and there are times and places. But for most of what I do, I'm looking to stay away from plastics. I'm looking to stay away from heavy metals and things like that. So they don't suit my business quite as well. But man, dried flowers and everlastings, I can't believe the market that is here for them now. If I had tried to market those 10 years ago, I don't think anyone would have wanted them. But at this point, it's become such a trendy look with the boho vibes and things like that. People want them in their fresh flowers. They want whole arrangements of dried flowers. They want whole wreaths of dried flowers. It's absolutely shocking. And I almost can't grow enough to dry enough to keep up.
Gotcha. When you talk everlasting, is that what you're meaning is the dried flowers?
Yes. Everlasting is a floral term that means dried or preserved flowers. So a real like organic item that has been preserved. And will last indefinitely as long as it's cared for. Grapevine wreaths are an example of that. Dried arrangements, pressed flowers. We're actually going to be expanding into preservations this year as well, because we do work so much with brides. They often want to keep a little bit of their bridal bouquet. And so I'm actually in the middle of a project like that right now, where we're going to be making a dried shadow box out of dried blooms from the bouquet. Which I've done before and really loved. And then we're also going to be experimenting with some silica dried flowers, wax dip flowers, candled flowers, things like that. So we'll see what turns out the nicest and then be offering that as a service.
It must be really fun to just try all those different things and see what you like doing and what's easy and what's harder than you thought was going to be. And that's like so creative. Yeah.
It feels really wonderful, especially when this is our down season right now after Christmas, before Valentine's Day, tons of planning and work still, but not quite as many orders and which is fine. You know, I totally understand. Everyone just gave everyone gifts. This is the time where we get to really be creative with stuff like that and with things that don't have to be fresh. And it's just, it's so nice. It really invigorates you and like gets you ready to be your most creative self for the frustrating growing season and planning wedding season ahead.
Where else do you find your creativity? Obviously the hands-on, you know, working with these things, but where do you find your creativity?
So I just at home, really. I have the fortune to live on the most beautiful property, I think, in East Lansing. We rent the migrant house of an old dairy farm, and it is just gorgeous out here. I think it's something like 40 acres. It's part hay farm now, part unused. I think they have some cattle sometimes that rent one of the pastures. There's another farmer who grows organic right behind my window. And there's a little farmer from up the road who just has a great little garden. You know, it's a very shared community. It's, you can't ask for much more, but there's also incredible wood lots. There's silos to explore that are full of beautiful ferns, and just, it all seems very magical and very natural at the same time. There's just so much to see and explore, and the colors out here. I mean, just the colors of the sky literally is enough to inspire you. We get great sunsets, and I can't say enough good things about it. It makes me want to create things. I will often go out into the woods and just pick up what I can find that's fallen, dried, interesting, whatever. Mushrooms, grapevine, anything delightful. There's lots of grasses out here that I've made wreaths with, but I'll just go gather and make something with it. And it's just for me, and it's just wonderful, you know? And that really inspires me to do so, so much more.
Ladies and gentlemen that are listening, do you hear this beautiful space right here in East Lansing, Michigan? I know many people will travel afar to find that magical place, and we've got it right here. Oh, we're not going to tell you the address because you can't take your space.
Oh, I know. All my friends are like, if you ever move out, I'm renting it. I'm like, yeah, but I have to move out.
Awesome. That is awesome. Have you ever felt like thrown in the towel? Like maybe this just isn't my thing?
I've never felt like it wasn't my thing, but I have felt a lot of that imposter syndrome before, which has been a very common theme in, you know, people of my age's lives, where, you know, I know I can do it, but am I really doing it right? Am I really doing it the best? Am I really as good as I think I am? Am I good at all? You know, all of that stuff. And when that starts taking over, it's just like, no, you are good. You know, you're good. People have been very happy with what you've made for them throughout the years. You know, I've been a florist for about 5 years now professionally. And it's just like, yes, you can do this. The thing that always does stop me is, did I start too soon? Should I have saved up more money before I did this and like given myself a better cushion? Should I have waited another year and found land that I should buy, or should I have not done it at all? Like, should I have just kept my good management job? No, I shouldn't have, because this is making me so happy. And as my partner said, this is actually the best advice I ever got about the business. I just turned 30 this year, and he at one point just looked at me and he told me, man, you got to do it now. Like, pretty soon you're going to be too old to fail young, and you need to fail young. And so I figure if I'm going down, like, it's fine. I'm 30. It'll be okay. I'll rebuild. Right now, I'm just going to put my whole heart into what I'm doing.
I agree with that. I've owned 5 businesses and started in high school.
That's right. So, you mentioned that. Oh my God.
Yeah. So, I have failed or started and restarted many, not all more failures, just something I stopped doing and started doing something else. But I can totally appreciate that sentiment. I'm also extremely impulsive. So when I get an idea, I'm like, let's just do it. Right?
That's how I am too. And yet there's that like one little voice in the back of my head that says, but, like, you know, I didn't learn to climb a tree till I was like 12 because I was afraid of falling and breaking my neck. And like, what little kid has that fear? There's always a but somewhere. And it's just like, no, shut up. I don't care what you're saying anymore.
Right.
We're doing this and I want to do it.
I love the fact that you're so passionate about it. So even if you did something wrong or it wasn't good enough, it probably, that's just your judgment. Somebody else isn't going to know. They're going to think it's a beautiful creation.
I learn that every time I go to my friend's houses. And I, you know, I love sharing my flowers. I always have. I've always grown and I've always harvested, even just from my personal gardens for funsies. And so I've been taking some of my friend's flowers for several years now. And I'll go to some of their houses and they still have them. And it's like, wow, I love that you love these so much. But they dried upside down, or they dried all crooked and funny looking. And like, I'm pretty sure they're, you shouldn't keep them. Like, I don't know. Is there still water in that vase? Or it'll have been like 4 or 5 weeks and like one bloom is still hanging on, but the rest is pretty gone. Like, guys, it's okay. Just throw them out. It's fine. So that always reminds me, like, people aren't gonna notice this one tiny petal in this one tiny flower in this one big arrangement that you think is crinkled a little bit or is just the wrong shade of pink or whatever, because they're looking at the whole. And that that's something I always have to remind myself. It's like, step back, look at the whole, look at the composition, and be happy with what you've created. And don't overfuss, because you're gonna break things.
So you shared the best piece of advice you ever heard from your partner. What's the worst piece of advice that you've ever received?
I'll go ahead and throw them under the bus. I worked at Cracker Barrel for a while and, you know, great team, nice people. Won't say anything about the company because I don't have anything nice to say, but good people there. But the one of their core tenets is you cannot say no to customers. Mm. And even if the answer is no, which doesn't make any sense, like sometimes the answer is just no, but they'll have you go through the whole, no, I'm so sorry, or I'm so sorry, we don't have that, but I'll see what I can do kind of nonsense. And that's just taking up your time. It's taking up their time. They just want to eat. I just want to work, you know, that sort of thing. And that has just been applicable to so much in the retail and service industry for me. Sometimes the answer is no. And sometimes people need you to just tell them that so that they can move on with their order, move on with what they want, and reach something that is what they want.
I love it. I love the ability to say no. I've done workshops where I have literally had the whole room screaming, no.
Oh, it feels so good. And, you know, after that experience working there, anytime that I was talking with a customer and could say no, like, it felt so special. It's, yeah, it's freeing. It's amazing. And, you know, you're not out to make things worse for people. Like, you're not here to make things worse for the customer's experience. If you had it, you would do it for them. But also sometimes the answer is no. And it's just so nice to be able to be a professional and do your job without the little things like that holding you back.
Right. Well, now you're the boss and you own Fay Marguerite, so you can say no or yes, oh, all the decisions, which is awesome and terrifying all at the same time.
Oh, it's so scary. I'm just like, man, I should really talk to the boss about this.
Right. Go have a conversation with yourself in the corner. You know,
right. When I worked at Red Haven, we actually, they had a little figurine that floated around the restaurant. It was a little pottery gnome and he was the boss. That way, if the owners were like, take it to the boss. It's just like, it doesn't need to be handled this way. But, and he always kept an eye on things, that sort of thing. But it's just like, sometimes you got to give that power a little bit away so you can actually think and be effective.
Right.
You know, you referenced a handbook earlier that you utilize. What else are you reading? Or listening.
I actually have it right here. It's called The Humanure Handbook. It's by
Humanure.
This is for advanced composters, I will say. It is a guide to composting human manure, but I won't get too big into that, but it will tell you all about how we should be rebuilding our topsoil. But yeah, as far as what I'm reading right now, this is the down season, so it's the time to study. I have a really wonderful book by Carissa Lytle and Jara Kern. It's called The Infographic Guide to Entrepreneurs. I'm a really visual learner and it is really wonderful. Has all sorts of the basics for starting your own business and makes it really easy. Flowcharts, things like that. Love that. Then on the agricultural side of things, I have been studying Mark Shepard's Restoration Act for Culture, which I can't recommend enough. If anyone is a farmer, a gardener, cares about the land at all, please read this book. It is so good. It does a great job teaching you how to sustainably grow perennial food, which is a lot of buzzwords. But what that really means is being responsible with how you grow food that can survive where you live and doesn't need to be shipped from a subtropical region. And the other one I'm reading is called Lean Farm, and it's by Ben Hartman. And it's about taking these natural, responsible ways of farming and gardening and streamlining them and making them more efficient. So that you're not wasting time, wasting money, walking in circles, getting a job done. You know, everything you need is right there. It's based in a lot of Japanese ideology as well, as far as streamlining things. It's just a really wonderful book. I can't recommend it enough. As far as listening, I'm just listening to Taylor Swift. How do you listen to anything else after she redoes Red? It's so good.
I love it. That is so great. Is there anybody, you've shared such great information and I have really enjoyed listening to you and getting to know you. And Amy, I'm so glad you ran into her at the Old Town General
School. Yeah.
I'm so glad invited her to be on this show because you are providing so much value, just not in what you're doing, but in your responsibility movement, if you will, and getting that message out there. I think it's very important. Yet, who do you think we should invite on the show?
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely recommend my new business partner, quote unquote, Emily Kay. She, like I said earlier, runs MI Drinks. She's owned that business for a couple years now and has been a one-woman show herself. And she is just absolutely incredible. And she does things in a manner that are responsible toward people she works with. And everything she uses is very ethically sourced. She uses Michigan products. When she hires assistants for her stall or whatever, she always pays like well above a minimum wage, like a living wage. You know, she's a phenomenal business owner and really takes the idea of being a business owner and all of the responsibility that goes with it to heart.
We'll reach out to her and you can let her know about us as well. And
oh, yeah.
We'll get her on here. Yeah.
Yeah, please, please. She's just really the best. I met her at Red Haven when she was working there, cooking and doing desserts and things like that. And she makes some real good stuff.
So we are so grateful that you took the time to spend with us today. And as I said, I've learned a lot just in this short period of time because I'm like, I can ask more questions. I can ask more
You questions. Just get in touch with me and I will talk your ear off.
I love it. I love it. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being here. And is there anything that we didn't ask that you would like to share?
Oh, gosh. I would just say that, you know, on your wonderful list of questions, you had mentioned, you know, what my favorite thing to work on is. And I will talk about that for a second if I have time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go for it.
I did mention it earlier, but my favorite thing is seeing things go from an idea, a dream, a desire to grow, to a seed, to a plant, flower, harvest, to the vase or the bridal bouquet or whatever it's going through. I love that complete cycle. That is hands down my very favorite, especially and most specifically when it comes to bridal bouquets. That's my real passion is I love a good, just juicy bridal bouquet. I just think that they are so fun and there are so few times in a person's life when you're going to get to carry around an arrangement that is just made specifically for you and for what you're wearing and what you're doing that day. I think it's just so special, especially when you're able to work with someone in before the planting season. They tell you what they're interested in and you can plant for them for their wedding. Have that seed to bouquet cycle be even more complete, even more rounded out. And I just think that is the coolest thing in the whole wide world. I know I might be alone there, but I just get geeked out over it all the time.
So awesome. So I'm envisioning the bouquets that I have seen at weddings. And I'm like, So cool.
And it's so crazy because, you know, a lot of the floral industry is so different than that. That's why the responsible flower movement is where it's at right now. It's because flowers have been shipped in from South America for so, so long that they've become standardized. Like you only think of red roses at Valentine's Day. And most mm-hmm. people only think of roses, carnations, mums, things like really basic stuff mm-hmm. when it comes to flowers, because that's what was pushed for 50 years. Because that's all that you could get most of the season for 50 years. Mm-hmm. And now that we're able to grow locally and really expand the flower variety that is available to us because it doesn't have to be shipped. Like it doesn't have to be unfragile. You know, you can just get it from the garden and it's fine. So it's really expanded what we can do as florists, but also, you know, really taken away from that big floral market, which is awesome.
Excellent. Excellent. Awesome. So we will share with everybody, our listeners, on how you can reach Jamie. And I hope that you all take a moment to get to know her and get to know her product. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. I really, really love talking with you and I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. And for all you people that got engaged last year and coming up that are dreaming of a big, giant, juicy bouquet. Get a hold of Jamie.
Yeah, we'll talk soon.
Yes.
Grab your passport and join Lisa and Amy as they interview a huge variety of today's professionals. You can discover Adventures in Business at ZediaMedia.com or find it at your favorite podcast source. If you'd like to be a guest at our show, we dare you to go to ZediaMedia.com. That's ZediaMedia.com and sign up.
This is a Zedia Media production.